this morning. I was like, Lord, which one do you want? And I was like, okay, I felt like it was this one last week, and it was like, nope. And I was like, hey, what's changing? And in our LTC class, I'm so stoked with our leaders, small group leaders in training right now. What the Lord is doing in our hearts collectively, it's pretty epic. I think you could feel it tonight in the atmosphere of worship, that there's like whole new levels of surrender coming, which is pretty cool. But I had a good talk with my buddy Luke Horn. So Luke and I got some coffee and I got some breakfast today. And we were talking about this thing called discernment. Now, discernment is pretty wild because we were actually talking about music, and we're talking about this music is really great musically this way and this way and this way, and we're talking about the things we liked about it. But what we started talking about is that music actually has a spirit to it. And not necessarily a demon, some of them do, but an attitude. Like, music has an attitude to it, a spirit to it. And the Bible talks in the parables of the soils, it talks about the thorny soil springs up and choking out the life that God planted in your heart. And we were talking today in our LTC class how when thorns grow, if you're ever working in a garden and you grab something that's got a thorn on it, all your other work stops until you get that thorn out of your life. That's what happens to Christians as we go into the world, and the world's casting seeds at us. These things grow up, and they got little fish hooks on them that are trying to get you off mission. They're trying to get what God's drawn in your heart to get choked out, because all your attention's focused on this. It says that the thorn is a pleasure of life, or the deceitfulness of riches, or the care. There's all these thorns that, and what's funny is discernment is you learn the reason God put thorns in things. It says that thorns are a product of the fall. So God, thorns weren't there in the original garden, you know, with the original gangsters, with the original way it was supposed to be. Thorns came after the fall. And what happened is holiness is when you know how to treat someone without ruining them. You know how to, holiness is, I love my wife. I think she's pretty darn gorgeous. I've only slept with one woman in my life, and it's been my wife. Thank you, Jesus. And holiness is when you know how to have a relationship without using it in ways that God didn't intend it to. You know how to have a relationship without abusing this expression that we call sex. You know how to have a relationship without taking it out of boundaries and getting pleasure out of it without etc., etc., etc. So what happens is God has put some thorns in things so that you learn how to be careful. So if you're like not caring about the garden, I've got to tell you, one of the King Louis of France, his gardener would make these designs that would spell out the king's name. And so he would plant all these flowers in the, you know, early spring, and the earls and squires, King Louis's court would kind of come prancing and dancing around, and they had no idea what the gardener had planted, so they just run all over where he had planted these flowers, and he worked like in design and all winter meticulously in this stuff. And so after a couple years in a row, the gardener went to King Louis, Louis, I've been planting these gardens for you, and these people keep running over them. They don't care what I've done for you, and all this work and all this money you're paying me is getting wasted. And so King Louis decreed that these little stones would be made called etiquette stones. And these stones would be put upon walkways. And so when you're walking, you would go, okay, if you're an earl or a squire, you know, a damsel, you know, any of those things, you would go, don't walk bounds. If I walk there, I'm going to ruin something that is made for the king. These stones so that you would know how to walk without ruining things. And that's what holiness is. It's etiquette that lets you touch things without ruining them, right? Everyone understand that? But what happens is when you walk, like when you just continue to walk these things without caring, you get away with murder, and so God put thorns and things so that it would prick you and walk carefully, and you'd have to reevaluate how you're ripping things out of the ground. And some of you experienced it in your soul, you got heartbreak from a relationship gone wrong. You're like, where did that heartbreak come from? That's a thorn. So that you didn't abuse relationships, you kind of get sick of getting brokenhearted. That's because of the thorn in it. If you got it, it's going to hurt. You guys know what I'm saying? So discernment is understanding there are spiritual realities that right now, when we listen to music, you go to certain places, sometimes some of us are really dumb to the spirit that's happening. We don't even realize it. We need something to open our eyes to what's really going on again. And the Bible calls this discernment. I want to tell you a couple of verses. If you're taking notes, just write these verses down. It says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So there's like sometimes when I'm preaching, someone's preaching, you're like, what is he talking about, right? It might be that there's no spiritual discernment. You just don't have ears to hear. That means you need help. You need something to open your eyes, open your heart to give you spiritual discernment. Again, 1 Corinthians 11:29 says, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. It's talking about you do communion and you just do it however you want to. Sometimes you're actually making it worse for yourself. There's thorns in it. Philippians 1:9, and I pray this, that your love may abound still more in knowledge and discernment, that you'd be able to tell on as you're living your life that, no, don't play with that. That's got thorns in it. That's going to hurt. Does that make sense? But you can't just do this in yourself. Discernment actually is a supernatural gift. 5:14 says, solid food belongs to those who are at full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And then Romans 1:31 says, actually a surprising verse, that we actually are guilty before God for being undiscerning. It says, they're undiscerning, they're untrustworthy, they're unloving, they're unforgiving, unmerciful. And all of us understand that we don't want to be untrustworthy. I think that's like kind of one of the Aggie values. And to be unloving, we're all like, yeah, we shouldn't be that. To be unforgiving, we're like, that's bad. To be unmerciful is awful, but undiscerning. God wants you to be discerning. Isn't that cool? So we need something more. If in your life you get scared, you get frustrated, you get disheartened when you look in the mirror and you're like, this is not what I want to be, what we need is we need something more. More than our effort, more than our discipline, more than a clear understanding, we need something outside of ourselves. What we're going to talk about tonight is gifts that only God can give to you. Okay? Ephesians 4:8 says, for he says, when he ascended on high, Jesus led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. God has given gifts. He wants to give us gifts tonight. Galatians 1:4, the best gift God gave us is himself for our sins. That, and if you don't know about that, come talk to me afterwards. I'm not going to preach tonight I'm not primarily preaching tonight about the gift that Jesus gave for our sins. We'll talk about some other things. Matthew 7:11 says, if you then, being evil, know how to give gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Cool, right now, you should begin to get a glimpse into God's heart. Some of you are like, we feel stuck, you feel cold. Spiritually, you feel poor, you feel in poverty. You're like, God, if you want to do something in my life, do it. But I guess maybe you don't want to. And God's saying, no, you ask me for a good gift. If you ask me, I'm willing to give it. Sometimes you actually got to go on the line and admit what's in your heart to God. God wants to hear what's in your heart from him, for him. That makes sense? God wants you to hear you. What is it you're hoping to receive? It's so funny. He goes to the man that's sick and he's paralyzed. And he looks at him and he goes, do you want to be well? And everyone's like, what a stupid question. Of course he wants to be well. But it's actually a great question. If God heals this guy, he can't live on welfare anymore. If God heals this guy, he's going to have to stand up and go back to work in a normal job. You know, it's so funny. I've seen so many times I've met people who don't actually want to be healed. Because if they're healed, it'll mean they'll have to go back to being responsible. They'd rather not be responsible, therefore they'd rather be sick. And you know what I'm saying? So we have to ask God. Sometimes tonight, what I'm going to do at the end is we're actually going to ask God to give us some gifts. And I'm going to tell you some of the types of gifts he gives. Luke 11 is a parallel passage. It says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Luke 11:13. That you actually, as a child of God, have to ask for the Holy Spirit. How much more will He give it to you if you ask Him? Right? And that you and I actually, it's so funny. Somebody, you're like, well, of course I want the Holy Spirit. But then you start thinking about it and you're like, well, maybe I don't. What if it turns me into a crazy Christian? I don't know if I want that. Right? And we just be honest here. You're like, I want the Holy Spirit as long as it's safe and, you know, like, is acceptable by everybody. But if it's going to turn me into a crazy person, I don't know if I want it. And let me just tell you, if it's from God, you want it. Right? And if it's not, you don't want it. But just because the world calls it crazy, you say, you're crazy, world. You're stupid. John 4:10. If you knew the gift of God and who it says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked Him, and He would have given you living water. So many times, Jesus is right there in the room. You might begin to sense Him tonight, and you're like, what do I do? And you actually can ask Him to give you something. I offer you two options. I have a Bic that you can find on the street that's a free pen, and then I give you a gold pen. It's actually solid gold. It's full gold. And I say, Manny, which of these pens do you want? And I go, and you pick the Bic one, right? No, you pick the, which one do you pick? Gold. Why? No, you're selfish. No, it's not because he's selfish. It's because the gold pen is more valuable. And if you're going to ask for something from God, let's ask for something valuable that's worth asking for. Right? He's got good gifts he wants to give. Okay? Acts 2:38, then Peter said, repent and let every one of you baptize in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But gifts can't be bought. The sorcerer said, hey, give me this gift you have. And Peter said, your money perished with you because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. You cannot purchase the gift of God. There's nothing you can do that obligates God to give it to you. But you can ask. You can ask. And the Bible says in Romans 11:29, for God's gift and His call are irrevocable. When God gives you a gift or a calling, He doesn't take Him back. He's not like, I'm going to give it as long as you're found worthy. He actually gives it to you for the rest of your life. What a good God. Isn't that wild? Like, but Lord, I'm not worthy. And He's like, you're right, but I didn't give you the gift because you were worthy. Now, our friend Donnie Moore, who was chaplain to the Oakland A's, has done some stuff for the Yankees. Now, Donnie Moore spoke at Salt, and Moore, this is pretty wild, he did some chaplaincy stuff for the Sentinels in Florida, and I said, hey, do you think we could get you to come to A&M and talk to our football team? And he goes, yeah, you need to show them this clip I did for the Sentinels and see if they like it. And I go, the Sentinels? Isn't that Jimbo Fisher, right? He goes, yeah, Jimbo Fisher. And I'm like, he's a coach at A&M. And he goes, nah, just tell him I called. And I was like, all right, I got Jimbo's number. I don't. But we're going to try to bring him in, right? Wouldn't that be rad? Kyle, if we bring in a chaplain for our football team, we're going to try. Here's what's wild. Donnie Moore says, there's nothing you can do to make God stop loving you because there's nothing you did to make Him start, right? There's nothing you can do to make God give you a gift. You can ask Him. For the gifts of God and the calling of God are irrevocable, and when He gives them, giving more. 1 Corinthians 1:7, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly awaiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. God always gives you enough to share, but each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that, for the edification of the body. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant, and I think a lot of us actually are ignorant about a spiritual gift. I think we've never even thought, we're like, God, I guess you've already given me everything you want me. I didn't think I could ask for anything more. God wants to give you more gifts, one birthday present is not enough from a loving dad. You know what I'm saying? He's like every year it comes by and I'm like, hey, son, I know you know that I love you, but I gave you a really good gift last year and I've done. I've got no more resources to give you, so just enjoy, right? God, he's not like he's tired. It's not like he's run out of ability to give you more. James says that, but when you ask, you ask with evil desires, blah, blah, blah. We're not going to talk about this. There is something that you can give. The Bible tells you not to. It says Ephesians 4:27. It says, don't give place to the devil. So don't do that. Don't give him a present. Don't give him any room in your life to operate. Okay? Amen? I'm not preaching about that. That's for free. Romans 11:8 says, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, in the ears that they should not hear. I want to talk about this a little bit. God loves you very much. And God can see when someone's heart says, no, I'm going to live for myself. And he sent a spirit of stupor on these people that is talking about in this passage because he knew that if they were really clear-minded, they would make a whole lot of bad messes. He could already see that in their heart they wanted to be selfish. And so he spent a spirit of cloudiness to them where they didn't actually have clear minds to do a whole bunch of wicked stuff. Does that make sense? But my dad did an LSD trip when he was later high school. He did a really bad trip and everybody's faces were moving for months. So he would look at people's faces and it'd just be bulges moving and all this stuff. And my dad had never cried out to God, but that day he cried out to God. He said, God, if you're there, can you please make this drug trip stop? And people's faces stopped moving, and my dad had a clear mind. And there's some here tonight that things have been foggy in your mind. There's not been a clarity. People are talking about Jesus, and you're like, I don't know what's going on. Or you're out and about, and it just seems like you're like, I seem to always say the wrong thing. I always put my foot in my mouth. I don't know what's going on, but for some reason I'm out of sorts. It could be that you have a spirit of stupor that came in when there was compromise in your life and God wanted to protect you. Like, for instance, I remember I'd made up my mind that if there was any girl interested in me, then I was going to sleep with her, right? I just made up my mind that that's what I was going to do. And just like that, God, like, made things foggy, and I'd talk to a girl, and they'd run away scared, you know? And you're like, what happened, you know? And it was the Lord thwarting my purposes. And some of you, you're frustrated right now because there's this thing you want to do, but it's just not happening. And as God, he's not letting it happen because you're going to run across something where he's planted some things he wants to grow, and you're going to run across it and trample on them and ruin them. And tonight, if that's you, we're going to ask, is God, would you restore to me a clear mind? Amen? Romans 15:5 says, now may the God patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. If there's some people you're not getting along with, in particular, if there's some Christians you're not getting along with, if you're struggling in your small group, you need to say, God, would you give us the gift of being like-minded? For some reason, we're at odds. This isn't right. Holy Spirit, I don't know what to preach. I don't know what to teach. I don't know how to make this happen. God, we need something from outside of us. To make this happen, we need a gift from your Holy Spirit. We need the gift of like-mindedness. Ephesians 1:17, and it says, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Right now, you're like, man, I just don't seem to get it. And you need to ask God, would you help me be wise? I remember this one guy goes to my friend and he goes, dude, I want to be wise. And my friend's like, then shut up and listen. And he's like, oh, shoot, man. I don't know if I want it that bad, right? James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Ask God to give you a spirit of wisdom and then shut up and let him speak to you. Amen? But God, I don't know what to do. I'm all so confused and da 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 da. Understanding. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. May the Lord give you understanding. Say, God, I do not understand. I read the Bible and I hear about my friends like doing all this thing, and I don't get it, and I'm lost. Lord, I need you to give. And it's so funny because we try all sort of different things. You're like, well, maybe if I read the Bible on my knees. Well, maybe if I read it standing up. Maybe if you read it standing on your head. No, there's nothing you can do. You got to ask if God will open your mind to help you hear what He has to say to you. Understanding is a gift. Take these IQ tests and people go, how do you understand that? It's not like one day I was like, hey, I'm going to be smart today. Let me pay attention. It's God Himself opens your mind. Sometimes He puts ideas in your head. And you can't explain where they come from, but it's almost like you're. Sometimes I'll be there, and it really feels like electricity. It's like this thing zaps in there, and you're like, oh, thank you, Jesus. And it's like I needed to hear from Him. And that's it. It's God can give you. If your mind is locked up, and now sometimes what it is you need to say, Lord, would you help me be grateful again? Right? And what I've seen with some of my friends is they're like, they used to be real brilliant, but they complained about everything. Nothing was wrong. And God took all their understanding to all they could understand was one simple thing, that God is there. That's all they could understand. And they said, Lord, thank you for being there. Would you show me something else to be thankful for? Sometimes you can't even think of ideas of what to be grateful for. And you need help. You need something outside of yourself. Amen? 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true. Now, this is a promise that if you're right with God, you say, Lord, would you come and help give me an understanding of what you're like? How come this guy can read one verse and get more about you, and I read 20 and I get nothing? You need God to open your mind, to open your heart. Emotions. Heartfelt care are gifts from God. But thanks be to God, 2 Corinthians 8:16, but thanks be to God who puts the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus. Right now, some of you are like me in that out of sight, out of mind, and your family's mad at you because there's no care, and you don't know what to do. Some of it's your friends. Some of you know what I'm talking about. If you just seem to be going along and all you seem to care about is yourself, you need help from outside of yourself. You need God. You say, God, would you help me love people from my heart? Would you put people in my heart so when I walk through the day, I don't forget about them? God, would you help me? I want to care for your people. Amen? God will give you peace. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. You cannot come to a right understanding. You know, sometimes it really is like we're contorting. It's like we're doing spiritual yoga. You're like, if I can only hold this position for long enough, then He will meet. It doesn't work that way. Some of these things are a gift, and only God can give them to you. Amen? Only He can give you peace. It's not fear, but love and a sound mind, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So if you're still afraid, if you're still lacking courage, if all those things, ask God, God, I don't want to be a coward. Would you help me be brave? Amen. Lord, would you give me a spirit of courage? Strength with the might in the inner man. This is Ephesians 3:16. Grant, this is, if you want to learn something cool, learn the 16s, John 3:16, you know, Luke 3:16. These are, if you do that, you'll find some really cool verses. This is one of them, Ephesians 3:16, that God would grant you according to the riches of His glory. Remember, God, He's not worn out when He gives you a gift, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. The inner part of you. Like sometimes you'll go and you'll hear a message from God and you'll go home. And the inner part of you has got no strength. You don't cling to it. You're like, oh, that's good. I need to do that. And you get home. Now, here's a little trick. The trick is, sometimes it's really bad to talk about what God is showing you until you've been obedient to what He's showing you. Here's how it works. What happens, God will be convicting you, and you'll be like, oh, guys, man, God's convicting me of this, and I need to quit doing that. And you confess in front of your friends, and it's like relief, right? It's like, oh, I feel so free right now. I finally told you. And then you go home and do it again, right? And so what happens is you get the relief of having confessed, but you don't get the freedom that obedience gives. Does that make sense? So if you want to be free, go do it, then confess, right? That's why it says, like, if you realize you're wrong at the altar, leave, go make things right, then come back. Don't go, God, I'm wrong with my brother here, I'm sorry, right? Go get it right, then come back. Am I yelling too much? A little bit? All right. Love is a gift. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. Boldness is a gift. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Boldness is a gift. Mercy is a gift. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed. You can pray that God would give your family mercy. You can pray that he would give us family mercy. Repentance is a gift. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. God, would you grant them repentance? You know what else is a gift? A restored conscience. A restored conscience is a gift. Hebrews 10:16 says, this is the covenant that I will make with them in those days. I will put my laws into their hearts and their minds I will write. In other words, this discernment thing we were talking about. It's like, it's so funny. Someone's like, man, I've been filling my head with this awful music. It's like, you know, girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that butt, right? And you're like, yeah, pumping iron, right? And then you go, and then you fall into temptation, and you're like, man, where did that come from? Well, let me tell it where it came from. Is you started putting desires back into your mind that had thorns that changed what you were doing, changed your focus, and you started coming alive to these other things. You get what I'm saying? And right now you've trampled on the conscience so much, you don't even feel right. And you need God. Say, God, would you restore my conscience? And He will. It's so funny. You get right with God, so here's what's so wild. This morning I was listening to some music early, and it was a Christian singer. And you tell me where this comes from. I'm listening to this song, and I'm like, the song is not about love. It's not about marriage. It's not about relationships. And I'm like, I listen to a song, and I go, I think this guy divorced his wife. And I go, that's really weird. And I'm like, I bet he cheated on her and divorced her. Man. So I Googled the guy's name, and he did. And I was like, how can you tell that from a song that's not about it? It's called a spirit of discernment. That there's a thing. There's a spiritual reality to what we do. And what's so funny is it says the shield of faith will help quench the fiery darts of the enemy. How are you going to know it's a fiery dart from the enemy when someone is like, hey, listen, you need to live your life for your career and sacrifice everything to the career, right? Where you're like, well, yeah, God wants me to have money, right? But then this passage talks about the deceitfulness of riches, right? And seek of God, not the kingdom of career, right? How do you navigate all these voices unless God restores to you a spirit of discernment so you can go through class? Does it make sense? Romans 12:6, having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. There's a whole bunch of supernatural gifts, and some of you, you're like, man, God, have I been left out? Did I miss it? Am I not a super Christian? And it's not that you're not a super Christian. It's just you've been scared to say, Lord, I actually value that part of you and I would like it. Everyone goes, you want a guitar lesson? I'll give you one. But I'm not going to like, well, am I called to music? If he picks me out of a crowd, then I'll know, right? Sometimes you're working on singing, you're like, I wonder if they'll be able to just say, and if he says this, then I'll know that's what I'm called to. And it actually says, you have not because you ask not, right? And so some of the things of character of God, if you want to be like it, you got to let him know that you actually care about it. God, I want to be like you in this. Amen? Ministers, he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God gives gifts to help us minister, gifts through others. 1 Timothy 4:14, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. This is so wild. I've done this before. I've seen it happen before. I prayed for someone. And I feel like God wanted to give them this particular gift. And I say, hey, God has given you this gift. And they go, okay. And then they start practicing it. And the more they practice it, the more they get it. Right? And sometimes, so tonight, it actually maybe happened. Maybe some of our small group leaders, you may, someone around you go, you don't have to be a small group leader. Maybe the Lord's just putting it on your heart. God wants to give a gift to someone here through you. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Come on, let's give them. Romans 1:11, for I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. It's possible. It's possible for me, for a leader, to impart a gift to you, to give you a gift. Anybody heard the word grace before? You guys like that word? Pretty word. You like the word grace? I like grace. One of the definitions of grace is a gift. It actually, one of the literal definitions is when God gives you grace, it literally means he gave you a gift. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your pastors. All of you be submissive to one another. Be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but gives gifts the humble. So here's what we're going to do. So worship team comes back. Is anybody hungry for more gifts from God? Are you hungry for him to give you a gift that's going to change your future? Are you hungry for him to, if you're sick and tired of being foggy-minded, are you ready to ask him for a gift of clear-mindedness? If when pastor's preaching or someone's saying something, are you hungry to ask, say, Lord, would you give me a gift so I can be discerning experience? I keep getting into messes and I don't want to do that anymore. Lord, would you give me a gift? Amen? So what we're going to do is we're going to cry out to God. God gives gifts to build his church. I can only preach so much. I can only get up so early. I can only study so hard to try to be obedient to what God has asked me to do here. And at the end of the day, that effort is for nothing unless God sends his Holy Spirit here. What it means is my best effort for God won't actually make anything happen until he sends his Holy Spirit to help it. Your best effort, I'm going to say this again, if this may be the first time you've understood this, because I'm believing God right now is giving some of you a clear mind as I'm speaking. So Holy Spirit, right now, the minds that are foggy, that aren't hearing this, there's a couple here that, the Lord, right now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would give them a moment of clarity to hear what you want to say to them. Holiness was never meant to be done by yourself. That's why you don't have the power to do it by yourself. It was meant to be done with God. When my wife and I got married, we said the prettiest vows in front of everybody. Better for worse, in sickness and in health, for richer, for poor. Beautiful vows. How silly would it be if I just made the vows by myself standing up somewhere? You get what I'm saying? Holiness is that there's two hands. There's God's hand giving you the power to live holy. And then there's your hand walking with Him and wanting to be holy. Does that make sense? You do not have the power to do it by yourself. Does that make sense? There's no way. It's not meant to be a one-sided relationship. It's two-sided. That's what a relationship is. Right? You're more than matter. You're more than atoms that have been organized. It's more than balance in yourself. You cannot find perfect balance in yourself. The only moment you'll ever be perfectly balanced is that moment between life and death. Right there, your cells and everything will just kind of boop, right? But if you're balanced right now, woo, it's scary. You throw that thing up, and right when it begins, right, that perfect moment of balance is right before it begins to fall back to earth. That's like, there's nothing in it, right? Its energy to go up is gone, and now it's coming back down. Make sense? What we want is a relationship with God where we walk hand in hand with Him, and He leads us, and we follow Him. My sheep hear my voice. Amen? Some of you, I'm praying as we begin to ask God for gifts. Here's one of the gifts God wants to give you. He wants to give you the gift. This is not for everybody tonight. There's a couple here in particular. He wants to give you the gift of hearing His voice. Amen? So there's emotional gifts. There's physical gifts. There's intellectual gifts. There's reasoning gifts. There's heart gifts. There's supernatural, miraculous gifts. There's so many gifts. If you then, though you are evil, is what Jesus said to the people in His day, know how to give good gifts, how much more will my Father in heaven give good gifts to those that ask Him? Amen? So let's stand up together. There's nothing we can do to make God give them to us. There's no perfect right position. Other than the position of humility. And so, Lord Jesus, God, I ask, Holy Spirit, that You would impart gifts to the humble hearts tonight, Lord. Lord, I bow my heart before You, Jesus. I know that my effort is not, Lord, all I'm preaching, all this won't do a thing, God, unless You give a gift to help minds understand what we're saying, to hear the heart of it, Jesus. Lord, to not take the provocative bait and run away, God, we pray, Holy Spirit, that You would meet us, Lord, that You would grant us the supernatural gifts to win people to Your kingdom, that You would grant us these gifts of being able to hear from You, to see, to think rightly before You, a restored conscience tonight, Jesus. And as we worship, if you'll find a spot, kneel, bow, find some spot, and ask God, don't let me ask for you, let your hungry heart ask God to give something to you, and we're going to wait for the Holy Spirit for a while. Amen.